from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Coming up on Forum this morning, artist Tom Otterness is famous for his public art sculptures, but he's also famous for having killed a dog on film as part of what he described as an art project. And now, after 34 years and many apologies, Otterness has received a commission for public art projects for San Francisco's planned Central Subway and General Hospital. Animal rights activists are up in arms, and many are demanding his contract for the art be canceled. The Arts Commission votes on the contract at its meeting later this afternoon. We'll take up the debate next, after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Good morning and welcome to this morning's Forum program. The San Francisco Arts Commission has approved two contracts which are pending for statues by artist Tom Otterness, $750,000 for the city's planned Central Subway Station and $700,000 for another installation at San Francisco General Hospital. When it was discovered that Otterness had made a film in 1977 when he was 25 years old in which, in the name of art, he shot a small dog to death he had acquired from a Denver animal shelter, many began to lobby against the project and, in a unanimous vote, the commission Animal Control and Welfare urged the city to rescind the two contracts that had been awarded. The Art Commission votes on the contract this afternoon. They'll be meeting at 2:30, and we want to take up the issue in this morning's opening forum hour. Joining us in studio is P.J. Johnson, president of the San Francisco Arts Commission. Good morning, P.J.
Good morning, Michael. Thank you for having me.
Glad to have you. Also glad to have Sally Stevens, who's also here with us in studio this morning, chairperson of the Commission of Animal Control and Welfare. Welcome, Sally Stevens.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. PJ, let me begin with you. Let's just start off with a kind of practical legal question. Are the contracts, can they be rescinded?
Well, they can. So one of the things when this came to light for our commission, Mayor Lee instructed me and other staff members to put the contracts on hold and do due diligence with our legal counsel as well as the two affected departments where the projects are scheduled to be implemented. So we've taken a look at that, and the short version is that, yes, the Arts Commission does have the power to cancel the contracts. We have a convenience clause.
And not have to go to court or have it litigated?
Probably not. I mean, obviously, you can't say for sure whether people will follow up with litigation, but it appears that our contractual relationship is pretty clear. Now, that's not to say we would walk away free and clear. A fair amount of money has already been paid out on the first contract. The timing of this was that on the second one for the Central Subway, we actually froze payments that were about to go out. The contract had been completed, but there's less money that has already exchanged hands on that one.
There's been terrible uproar about this by animal lovers talking about the city of St. Francis and, you know, how kids are going to think about this when they see the sculptures if they go ahead and identify with somebody who just flagrantly shot an animal to death. But why didn't you know? I mean, it seems, in retrospect, maybe you don't look at an artist's history or anything, but it's all over the internet.
Well, so a couple of things. First of all, I think it's fair criticism that we didn't find out about this earlier in the stages of this process. It's actually a long process by which public art commissions are awarded. We have a panel of judges that independent panel of which either no commissioners or only one commissioner sits on that reviews dozens of applicants for any major art installation. And then they vote and narrow down to finalists and eventually select one artist or artist team for a project. And the selection panel of judges weren't aware of this history. When it finally came to the full Arts Commission, we weren't aware of this history. But I think it's fair enough to say that once you start looking on the internet, you can find pretty clearly that this controversy has dogged him in other places. Sorry for the pun. But the fact is, we didn't know. My own background is in critical theory. I'm not familiar with every artist ahead of time that comes through our commission. And I can tell you for the past 20 plus years, Tom Otterness has been producing public artwork in major cities around the nation and in other parts of the world to great acclaim. He is, frankly, one of the world's leading public art sculptors, and he's got major pieces elsewhere. When we saw the recommendation from the panel, frankly, what we saw was his proposal for these two projects and his more recent work.
Sally Stevens, well, let's talk about why this vote was unanimous. He's made public apologies over and over again. In fact, he sent one to us, and let me read it for listeners here. Thank you for the invitation to come on your show, but I don't think my presence would be useful. I have acknowledged my terrible mistake many times, and at this point, all I can do is hope that people will forgive me. I don't think it's my place to try to convince anyone of anything. While I appreciate the invitation, I've always felt the focus should be on my work rather than my flaws as a human being, which, believe me, could fill up a radio program of their own. I'm grateful to the San Francisco Arts Commission for twice selecting my work, and nothing would please me more than to be able to share my work with the San Francisco community. Public apologies, yet they don't carry much weight here.
I think that the concern that was expressed at our commission meeting is that it has only been words, and it's kind of easy to say you're sorry. The question is, has he taken any actions or any you know, sort of an act of contrition as opposed to just the words of contrition? And
by the way, those words didn't come out until 2008. I believe that's correct, because I did some research on this too, when he had some contracts, some public contracts.
The words of remorse came out basically after there was starting to be criticism of the contracts. It doesn't mean that he doesn't feel remorse, but he didn't, you know, publicize that. And I would think that, because this has been controversial for, you know, at least 3 years, that, and with other contracts, that I would think that he perhaps should have or could have done some kind of actions. I mean, even, you know, donating money to a shelter, rescue, volunteering time, or, you know, giving a public service announcement about, you know, how you don't want to do animal cruelty, you know, the mistake I made. I think that
sort of things Michael Vick did, for example.
Yeah, and even that is quite controversial because, again, people feel that his apologies are very self-serving. And, you know, is it sincere? And that's something that, you know, it's difficult for the general public to detect the sincerity of an apology, which is why you look at acts as something to indicate that you really are truly remorseful.
Well, I'm looking at a letter from Rebecca Katz, actually, to P.J. Johnston from the Animal Care and Control Department of San Francisco. She's a director, and she says, I want to convey a positive update regarding Mr. Otterness's efforts to work with me and other community leaders and in New York to attempt reparation, sincere and affirmative gesture in support of humane education and animal welfare. And she's talking about specific acts. You were aware of this? The board was when you voted unanimously?
No, actually, the letter was just written, I think, yesterday or the day before. So I received it yesterday.
What does it change, if anything, or does it?
I don't know that it changes necessarily anything with regards to the commission, the Arts Commission. The Animal Commission still is urging and encouraging that the contracts be terminated. I think that sends a message to other artists that this is not acceptable and that there are lines that you cross when you do when you create art. There are lines that you shouldn't cross when you create art. And I think a termination of a major contract such as this would send a message. And in and of itself, that would be a powerful message against animal cruelty in art, as could be. In addition, though,
That public money should not be used
when
there's animal cruelty or a history of animal cruelty.
I think that especially because there hasn't been any obvious act of remorse or contrition. There's talking about it now, and I certainly encourage that, but as of now, nothing has been done.
And again, Sally Stevens is chairperson of the Commission of Animal Control and Welfare. P.J. Johnson's president of the San Francisco Arts Commission. You've got some concern and skepticism. Let me have you air this, P.J., about having a wide-range policy of any kind that would essentially look toward some kind of morality about something of this sort.
Yeah, I think so. I'm personally very torn about this. I mean, I am a dog lover. I got my dog 10 years ago from this same animal care and control here in San Francisco, and personally feel very strongly about animal welfare and animal rights. On the other hand, I'm not sure that the message that would be sent is entirely unproblematic. I think that we get into a danger zone where, as a public agency, we start determining after the fact what offenses in someone's past are so unforgivable that we're going to make an after-the-fact decision to reverse course. I'm not sure that we're setting up a standard that is unclear and not entirely defensible. So I'm worried about that.
You're also worried about being a censor?
Well, the irony here is that the work itself that we're talking about is not particularly controversial. Tom Otterness's current work, the work that he's been doing for the past 25 years or so, and what's proposed for these two installations, frankly, doesn't carry much controversy with it right now. It's really his past abhorrent behavior, and I find it abhorrent as well. So what I'm uncomfortable with is the Arts Commission coming in and saying, we now are not only just going to judge the merits of the artwork that we're standing in judgment of, but we're going to start judging the artist.
Maybe you can describe the artwork we're talking about here, or give us a sense of what visually his work represents. I think we have it on our website now, so you can look at it actually on our forum. Go to forum.
Yeah, so in each case, there are a series of metal sculptures that are whimsical human forms and animal forms in sort of playful...
Look like cartoons.
Basically. Kind of cartoonish, yeah. But cartoons popping out of reality. And they're very, very popular in the New York City subway system. They're very popular at the zoo in San Jose. And they're fairly well embraced, that work itself. It's the artist himself and this action from his past that really is why we're here and what we're talking about. So it's a very uncomfortable and new position, frankly, for me. In 8 years on the Arts Commission, I've had a lot of experience with controversy surrounding the art itself. This is the first time I've really been dragged into something involving the artist himself.
Well, but it goes back a long way to, you know, should we read Ezra Pound's poetry because he was a fascist and announced for Mussolini, or should we listen to Wagner's music because he was a virulent anti-Semite?
That's exactly the discomfort I'm feeling.
But there is a precedent for this, and let's talk about that. There was an Algerian-born artist who had all these animals bludgeoned to death in a video that he put out in 2008, bludgeoned with a sledgehammer. Artist by the name of Abdesamed and Adel Abdesamed. And essentially the decision was, we don't want an art from this artist, right?
Yeah, and I think that's what we're struggling with here. Like I said, I'm not entirely sure how my 14 colleagues on this Arts Commission are going to vote. I personally am still very torn by this issue because I have my own moral and ethical compass that informs my thinking on this matter. And I think we have 14 other moral and ethical compasses that will bring to bear their thinking on this matter. And then we have an entire community and an entire city. The problem is I find that exactly what acts are unforgivable and exactly what time has elapsed mitigates that at all, and exactly what acts of contrition also mitigate that is a really subjective and frankly varying standard, and one that now we're being asked to apply to a public policy decision after the fact.
Well, Sally Stevens, let's get your read on this.
Yeah, I think that, you know, art doesn't exist in a vacuum, and our perception of art is informed by our perception of the artist to a certain extent. And as you said, if you had an artist who was a white supremacist and was, you know, doing sculptures that were that had nothing to do with his political views, that were whimsical and cartoonish, you might be concerned, would we want that art from him, displayed in our public spaces and also paid for with public money. I think that art also, to some extent, reflects the values of the community. And I do think that there are certain things that everybody, no matter what your personal moral compass, would agree are truly egregious things. I think animal cruelty is one. I think, you know, anything child abuse is another one. Murder, those sorts of things. I think that I was able to a Google search, the fourth item that came up under this artist's name was, Tom Otterness dog killer. So it was really simple. I don't think the commission, the animal commission is essentially saying we need to be doing, extensive background searches on artists that apply for grants. But, kind of a rudimentary type of search for just to make sure that the people who get our public money and have the art in public spaces, I think in the most people who care about animals now, especially since this has become so well known, they're not going to be able to look at that art and see it as whimsical and cartoonish. They're going to look at it and see it in the context of, oh, that's that guy that did that killed the dog.
What about the argument, though, that San Francisco is a city particularly identified with contrition and with rehabilitation and with forgiveness and all of these kinds of things? Or another argument, which I'm sure you're hearing, because I'm reading by those who are saying you have to separate the artist from his work and all of that, that if you're concerned about animal rights, look at the way animals are slaughtered, or look at the kinds of egregious things that are done to animals daily in humane shelters. I mean, they're slaughtered in mass numbers. And you say to that what?
I think that there's all sorts of issues that involve animals, and we could probably be here all day talking about all the different ones. I think that in this context, we're looking at something that was done, essentially an execution of a dog that was done,
which had no consequences.
It had no consequences, and it was done in the context of being art. I mean, in interviews 3 years later, Otterness said that, you know, he did this intentionally to damage the audience, to sort of attack the audience. It was, you know,
a snuff film.
I can't speak for him, but what
he called it a snuff film.
Yeah, and it was to sort of kick people out of their complacency. And I think that the point that I think as a society we need to make is that even in the context of, you know, kicking people out of complacency, which is a legitimate purpose of art, there are lines that one does not cross. And a snuff film I can't imagine anybody saying that that would not be a line that should never be crossed.
Well, let me actually give the number right now. I know there are many of you who may want to weigh in on this. And really the question is, should an artist long past history disqualify him or her from having work displayed at public expense or public taxpayer money? Our toll-free number, should you care to join the program, is available to you. It's 866-733-6786. Again, that's 866-733-6786. You can join us whether you're listening on radio, internet, or Sirius satellite. We welcome your calls. You can also let us know what you're thinking or present any questions or comments by emailing us, forum@kqed.org, or posting questions or comments on our website, which is kqed.org/forum, and click on this segment. And of course, you can also communicate to us on our Facebook page, and the Facebook page is available for those comments as well. I just want to get back, Sally Stevens, though, to PJ's point about, you know, coming up with a policy that has to do with subjective morality.
Again, I do think that there are some things that are egregious that everyone can agree on that aren't particularly subjective. For example, I don't know anybody that would say animal cruelty is ever excusable. Even Otterness has said that it was inexcusable what he did. I think that, you know, obviously child abuse would be another example. I think that murder, those are things which are very egregious. I think your point that you raised, Michael, just a little bit ago about consequences, to some extent, there have been no consequences to Otterness for this act. I mean, Michael Vick is the classic example that this case is being compared to. He had very significant consequences, at least temporary ones, where he went to jail over what he did. He lost contracts, you know, and I think that people have been somewhat willing to, some people I should say, have been willing to forgive him because they do feel that he did pay some price and he has done ongoing education about, you know, the horrors of dogfighting and encouraging kids not to get involved in it. I think that, you know, you can argue whether or not, again, that's a self-serving and whether it's enough. And there are, for some people in the animal community, they do say that's not enough. And it is forever unforgivable. But I think that perhaps the issue is whether it can ever be possibly forgiven or whether after suitable acts of contrition or even just some kind of consequences. And I think the Animal Commission's standpoint is that the, you know, termination of these contracts is a very definite consequence for these actions. And from that point on, perhaps if he goes forward and does some other types of things, as the director Katz's letter mentioned, then at that point in the future, perhaps people can begin to forgive.
Yeah, PJ Jones.
Yeah, I just wanted to jump in there a little bit because I think you actually are contradicting yourself in a number of ways there. One is, sure, we can all agree that animal cruelty and shooting an animal is a terrible offense, and we can agree that murder is a terrible offense, and we can go to the specter of child abuse. But what we're really talking about is, at what point do people – what is the consequences? How long is it imposed? And at what point does anybody have the opportunity to have a another chance in life. And I'm saying that that is a pretty subjective matter. And everything you just described, Michael Vick, people's own reactions to the artwork, is very subjective. Some people think that what Michael Vick's done isn't enough to welcome him back into the community of football players and the public. Some people think it is. That, and not only that, but what the Animal Welfare Commission said wasn't just that we should rescind these contracts, but that we should never accept another artist who has engaged in animal cruelty before as a policy. Now, I can embrace that from a personal standpoint that I'm frankly not looking for people who commit cruelty to animals to do a lot of public art for us. But it is subjective in the sense that does previous drug abuse disqualify you? Does domestic violence disqualify you? And for that matter, does felonies like murder or assault? Because the fact is we do have lots of programs in this state and in this community that work with ex-offenders specifically utilizing art as a rehabilitative and a redemptive part of their lives.
Not art that involves shooting dogs, presumably.
No, but that's not what this art that we're talking about installing in San Francisco.
But I want to actually, because you mentioned the word never, PJ, and you were talking a moment ago, Sally Stevens, about the fact that perhaps in the future there's a possibility you could engage this artist, and if he showed himself redemptive enough and did the kind of acts that you were talking about. But is the wording actually never hire someone who has acts of animal cruelty?
I think that the issue of redemption is one that is certainly up for discussion.
No, but if you have never in the unanimous decision you made, then that is a policy that suggests you would never want to hire anybody who has that in their past.
Well, what's kind of interesting is that back in 2008, when the exhibit you mentioned with the animals that were sledgehammered, which was it was a video and it was actually on exhibit at the Art Institute in San Francisco, and it was quite controversial at the time and was actually closed. At that time, the commission did contact the Grants for the Arts, which is a program that partially funds the Art Institute, and suggested this is not something we like our tax money spent for. And again, I think the issue is a lot of this is that this is tax money. This is public money that's being used for these projects. And we got a response, actually, from the Grants for the Arts that made a point that, you know, that said, and it's a quote from a letter, we expect grantees to uphold high artistic and ethical standards. Deliberate or egregious animal cruelty can never be excused in the name of art. And I think that that is essentially what we're saying, is that you need to look at these kind of issues. I think that art does reflect the values of the community that it's in. I mean, I think that there's been cases of art that in, you know, the Mapplethorpe exhibits years ago in Cincinnati, which were hugely controversial. Here, they probably wouldn't have been controversial. And so you do it. I think that to some extent, the discussion about standards and being subjective in things is a little disingenuous, because I think that we do have a sense in San Francisco of what sort of the common values are in our sort of city society, in our cultural society. And those are the issues that I think.
Well, I don't know that animal snuff films are going to be embraced in other communities around the country, that San Francisco is so loving and unique that we're the only ones who would take opposition to this. The fact is the statement sent over from their commission to ours is never hire this guy or anyone like him again.
Okay, we are going to go to a break here because we have to. We'll come back, we'll have more, and we'll hear from you, PJ Johnson, with us in studios, president of the San Francisco Arts Commission, and Sally Stevens is chairperson of the Commission of Animal Control and Welfare. You're listening to Forum on KQED Public Radio. I'm Michael Krasny. You're listening to Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. Artist Tom Otterness, famous for his sculptures and for his public artworks, but he's also famous for having killed a dog on film as part of an art project, or what he described as an art project. Now, after 34 years and many apologies, he has received a commission for public art projects for San Francisco Central Subway and General Hospital, and Animal rights activists are up in arms. Many are demanding his contract for the art be canceled. The Art Commission votes on the contract later today. And, in fact, you can still get comments into the Arts Commission by going to their website, sfartscommission.org. We're talking with P.J. Johnson, who heads up the San Francisco Arts Commission, and Sally Stevens, chair of the Commission of Animal Control and Welfare, who unanimously voted that the Arts Commission ought to indeed rescind these contracts. And let me give you some sense of what we're getting in the way of responses from listeners here. You can let us know what you think by going to our Facebook page or emailing us, forum@kqed.org, or going to our website, kqed.org/forum, and clicking on this segment. And we're asking really a basic question. Should an artist's past history, long past history in this case, disqualify him or her from having work being displayed? On the side of the artist, so to speak, here's Doug, who says, I'm shocked that you can condone the act of censorship of free speech. Art is about expression and charting new territories of thought. Art has been about controversy since the dawn of time. Josh says, many of the guests have condemned the artist's work, but I'm still not exactly sure what's so controversial. To kill a dog that would have been killed anyway? What's the controversy? The fact that he killed a dog the way it was killed, or the fact he put it on film? Aren't dogs killed every day? And a web commenter says, this is ridiculous. If the artist had killed a person sometime in his past, should he not ever be able to do anything ever again? Who are we to judge? It's certainly not the Arts Commission role. John from San Francisco says, we still go to see Roman Polanski films, and that was a crime against a human being. But on the other side, we have Poe, who says, there's something deeply disturbing about a person of any age doing such a horrible thing to an animal. Also disturbing is the lying that took place in order to adopt the dog. Organizations rescue animals at considerate effort and expense in order to provide them with a loving home and a good life. Mr. Otterness's behavior was absolutely despicable, and youth is no excuse. I hope the Art Commission will rescind the contract. Maybe they will give him some small measure of understanding that his behavior, no matter how long ago, has reflections on his character. And I think anyone who knows his history would not want to see his work on exhibit in San Francisco or anywhere. A web comment. The contract should be terminated simply because the artist's reputation and past deeds are part of the art. Just as memories of a pleasant trip to a winery colors one's appreciation of wine, much of art is the stories behind the art. I would never be able to pass his works without reflecting on the evil within us that leads to such senseless killing of innocents, hardly the emotion or intent of art that has been portrayed as whimsical. Another web comment. Well, let me actually go to a couple more emails here, and then we'll go to your calls. This is Antonia, who writes, as a foster parent for a leg-up rescue, seeing firsthand repeatedly the fear of a dog removed from the shelter, the crime Tom Otterness created is unbearable. His work should by no means be installed in San Francisco. Why not use a local artist? Allowing his work to be installed would just lend to vandalism and great outcries by the many pet lovers in the city. And this is sent from a listener who says from his iPad, her iPad. Honestly, why don't you just commission art from Charles Manson? There are tons of incredibly talented artists out there who don't murder animals. Give the commission to one of them. We do not need to reward this guy. What he did is sickening. Web comment. This is outrageous. It's unbelievable that they would give any art contract to this guy. How can cruelty of killing an animal be considered art? An apology doesn't cut it when he purposely took the life of another in the name of art. This guy should not be allowed to tarnish the legacy of San Francisco. And just a couple more here, a web comment. Michael Vick was just mentioned in the conversation, and that is a very good comparison. There's very little excuse for what the artist did in 1977. Enough said. And another listener says, why do we give so many of our art grants to artists who aren't from the area? Maybe we ought to take that up, PJ.
Sure.
I mean, a lot of people are saying, couldn't you give it to a local artist?
That comes up a lot. So two important things about that. First of all, on the Central Subway projects, the art installations at San Francisco General Hospital and throughout all public art installations in San Francisco, a large majority of the artists selected for those are local artists. So we already have that. It's actually it would be illegal to use federal funds that are so much a part of the Central Subway Project and guarantee that it goes to a local artist. Federal law restricts those funds in such a way that you can't do that. And as a policy decision, I wouldn't support that. San Francisco does have a lot of great artists. We utilize them, like I said, more than half the time. But the fact is we also have in this city public artwork by great artists from around the country and around the world, Keith Haring, Auguste Rodin. We're an international city, and we ought not to become so provincial that we shut our doors to artists from around the world. So I wouldn't support that. And in the case of the Central Subway, it would be illegal anyway.
Did you want to say anything in contradiction to that, Sally Stevens?
No, I just wanted to kind of make a point that personally I think there is real value in public art. It does make our public spaces more livable and that sort of thing. One of my concerns in addition about all this irrespective of the actual the issue itself, is that it is kind of making people question the value of public art and question why are we spending hundreds of thousands of dollars on art. You know, the fact that this has turned out to be a controversial project is making people think that, and I think that's unfortunate.
Well, let's find out what our listeners have to think who are calling us. And John, you're first up here. Good morning. John. Hello, from Santa Cruz, are you there?
Yeah, can you hear me okay?
Okay, yeah.
Hi, yeah, this is a great show, thanks. I think that from just the range of responses you got just over those email responses, there's obviously a difference of opinion about whether this person should be judged or censored or whatever. But I think that it's missing the point, whether he's a good or bad person, whether he's contrite, whether he's apologized enough. It seems like the purpose to me of public art is to enrich the public space and make the community feel better about these public spaces. And if there's a large fraction or even minority of the community that's going to feel awkward about it, it's not about whether it's a good or bad person. It's just the practical thing about whether people are going to feel awkward, just as if, for example, the art exhibit had a funny smell to it and people couldn't appreciate it because it had a funny smell to it. And it seems obvious that this controversy is going to affect the artwork in that way, that there'll be a large fraction of people that just don't feel happy in the public space with that art, knowing this history, and therefore it's not serving its purpose.
Well, John, I thank you for those remarks. What about that, PJ, the idea that if there are a lot of people uncomfortable about this art, that ought to be a kind of plebiscite of sorts or act as a plebiscite?
Well, I have to say a couple of things. One is that I'm not sure that this city or any other would be served by great art if we resisted ever having public art that part of the population didn't like. Usually we're arguing about the actual art itself, and lots of times there's controversy around the art itself. In this case, we're talking about whether there's a lingering effect of the artist.
And maybe more than a lingering effect. It may be a strong impact. I mean, a lot of people have been saying things like, I don't want my child to see this art knowing that this is a guy who shot a dog and killed a dog or executed a dog.
I think that may be a reaction some people have. I think that, again, is a very subjective thing. I would just take that back to one thing. There's a lot of things Sally and I have talked about that we disagree about. One thing I think we can agree upon, we're not talking about censorship. If the Arts Commission chooses to rescind these contracts, it's not because we're censoring his artwork that has been proposed for these two places. The Arts Commission did not award a contract for a snuff film. That event happened 34 years ago. We're not defending
it. His artwork is very inoffensive, really. I mean,
his current artwork
is charming. I don't know if I would describe it that way, but that's the word I often hear.
Right, but certainly it's not his artwork now that we're talking about being offensive. We're talking about the artist and his past actions. And we did not award a commission for a snuff film. That's in his past. That's a legitimate issue for us to discuss here today and at our commission. But I don't think it should be suggested that we're in any way centering his art now.
Okay, I'm glad we found a point of agreement, and we'll find some more callers and hear what they have to say. And this is Chris joining us. Chris, you're on.
Oh, hi. I'm a working artist myself and have something of a checkered past. I think the highest plane of morality for me when I hear this entire conversation is that art is a distillation of the artist's life entirely. And if I understand that the Animal Commission has its perspective and position to defend, and that the Art Commission has its perspective to defend. I think perhaps if the contract was awarded, I do feel that just from not a contractual standpoint, but just from being fair standpoint, let the guy do the work. But perhaps the compromise could be give a percentage of that very large amount of money directly to a shelter, or build something that says, hey, I totally screwed up. Let me show you that I mean what I'm saying, and then please let this thing that happened 34 years ago be done, because we can't judge this man forever and ever. So that's my bottom line, and I hope it makes sense to all the listeners.
Well, let me thank you for that bottom line and get a response from Sally Stevens.
Yeah, I think that's kind of a part of what we have said, is that he has not taken any overt actions of contrition to match the words that he said of remorse. And what the listener just mentioned would be certainly an overt act of contrition. For some people, it might never be enough. For others, it would be, you know, it would be the beginning of healing.
Well, you know, we're getting, to put it mildly, a lot of responses, but the pro-contract and those in support of the contract are actually right now outnumbering those opposed. I wanted you to know that for the record. Let me read some of these again. Bruce from Berkeley writes, if Da Vinci was alive today and applied for a grant, wouldn't he be scrutinized for his morality as well? He hired people to get cadavers to dissect, to study the anatomy of humans, which at the time was considered immoral and unethical. Another listener, Kelly from Palo Alto, says, I'm not overly familiar with the situation, but it seems really overblown. Isn't there a statute of limitations for this type of punishment? What message does it send to artists other than you can make no mistakes ever? Another listener writes, if this had been a cow that was filmed however many years ago, no one would be talking about it. If he'd eaten the dog meat after the slaughter, would that have been acceptable? In some cultures, it definitely would be. There's an intrinsic hypocrisy that this artist has been brought up in American society, whether he meant to or not. Another listener from BlackBerry says, I hope the city chooses to move ahead with this artwork. I find the concept of morality police censoring art based on a single act over 30 years ago to be distressing. If the artist made a practice of animal cruelty, that would be different, but that is not the case here. Another listener says, there's no doubt in my mind that we should all be appalled by the murder of an animal for the sake of art. I do think that we should not be the judges of how honest and sincere his contrition is, and we should try to make him take him at his word. Public funding should not be withheld unless the project itself is aberrant. Web comment, absolutely reprehensible, but more than 30 years ago, the artist has renounced that crime as clearly as anyone could hope, and if you have eaten meat recently, you are in no good moral position to judge the youthful sins of another so harshly. What about eating meat, Sally Stevens? I mean, we keep hearing about this, the inhumane ways that animals are slaughtered. And from,
I must admit that personally I am a vegetarian, so it's not for me personally. I think that, again, this is an issue of public money being used to fund public art. It's, you know, if an individual, you know, if an artist wants to, you know, if individuals, you know, people with a lot of money want to commission art and that sort of thing, you know, they can, they're certainly welcome to do that. But this is a case where the city's money is being used, the taxpayers' money to some extent is being used to fund this thing. And just kind of want to, what the film was basically he bought the dog at the shelter in Denver specifically to kill it and talk it, and he tied it up to a fence and then shot it. It was about 30 seconds.
And as the listener pointed out, in those days you had to say, just like you do today, I'm adopting this animal because I want to take care of it, and you're screened and all the rest of that sort of thing. So it's amazing that there was never any prosecution in this because it was so blatant. It was all over the place.
People didn't know about it at the time because it was done in Denver, and I'm not sure, but I know one place where the film was shown was New York City. And so, you know, once word did get out, years later, there was, as I understand it, an attempt in Denver to try to find him or whatever, but it was, you know, he was not there.
Here's another web comment I want to read because it's from a PETA member who says it's a pretty huge issue. Animal cruelty was over 34 years ago. He should have killed a rabbit or a squirrel or a pig or a cow and all would be well. I'm a PETA member, and I think this is silly. It pains me a little to cite, but David Brooks has a column today called Let's All Feel Superior. This is after the discussion. Okay, now I said the pros were outnumbering the cons, but let me give you some of the cons here. Sarah says, if Mr. Otterness wants to demonstrate reparation, I challenge him to donate a significant portion of the proceeds of the city contract to San Francisco Animal Care and Control. Harriet writes, I feel that there is no comparison between the opinions of Pound and Wagner and the act committed by this man. Pound and Wagner did not personally kill anyone. This man arbitrarily murdered an animal. Thank you for that. But I was just saying artist and work. That was not to say that there was a one-on-one analogy there. To be a broadcaster. Here's another listener who says, absolutely believe that San Francisco should pull contracts from him now and in the future. The comment earlier questioning whether we should read Pound or listen to Mahler, it was Wagner, not Mahler, not relevant. Public didn't pay to have their works published. Brooks says, I know everyone can make mistakes, but the only way to encourage people to stop mistreating animals is to attach consequences to their actions. I don't think public funds should be spent to commission this artist. So we always get back, PJ, to public funds and the people who don't like lucrative contracts being given out of their public monies to what they see as an animal killer in the past, however long ago.
Well, I think I should probably address a little bit about the public funding of artwork. San Francisco has been for many decades a pioneering city in the support of publicly accessible artwork. And, separate and apart from this issue, there is always a lot of discussion about whether we should spend any taxpayer resources on public art. This city has made it a policy, and hopefully most people embrace it, that it is partly a great city because it is a great cultural destination and because public art is available and accessible for the people of San Francisco and all its visitors. What we do is we dedicate 1% of the construction budget of any public, newly built public structure or public space, and that goes to fund the installation of public artwork. In this case, these are massive projects, and there are several art awards that have gone out to go with San Francisco General Hospital and to go with the Central Subway. These are structures that are intended to last for decades and decades, hundreds of years maybe even, and or at least more than 100 years. And the idea is that the importance of the public space is such that significant artwork ought to be part of the public commons. Now, I think what we've been talking about whether any public money should go to this person, and I think Arts Commission is going to take that up, and I think reasonable people can have different feelings about it. The problem that I have with the Animal Welfare Commission's stated goal is that it wouldn't allow for the reparations that we've just been talking about, or whether it would even go far enough. It says, dump him and dump anyone like him as a policy. And I just don't think – I think that's arbitrary, and I think it's too lasting. I think we do have a place in society for giving people an opportunity to move on with their life, and hopefully they do something better with that life. And whether what they're doing is sufficient, that's the subjective question we're talking about.
Stevens, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to clarify just a little bit that what we did say in our letter to the Arts Commission is that they really should develop some kind of process to make sure that these sorts of things don't happen in the future. I mean, this should have been vetted when the contract, before the contract was actually awarded. And it, like I said, a very simple Google search would have brought up that this was that there was this controversy. And then if the Arts Commission wanted to go ahead and make a decision, at least it would be a, quote, informed decision and people would have been involved and that sort of thing.
But that's not what the letter says. The letter
actually
says you should not give a contract to anyone who's got a history of animal cruelty.
Yeah.
That was the takeaway headline.
It said the city of St. Francis cannot display with public funding art from someone who's committed such an unconscionable act of animal
cruelty. That seems fairly definitive.
Especially in this context, when there has been, this was written in October, there was, at that point, there was no, he had not expressed any kind of, it sounds as though from the letter from Director Katz.
Well, you know, funny you should mention that because Rebecca Katz has called us over the transom here, and let's put her on. Good morning.
Good morning.
You've been listening to us?
Oh, I have.
Yeah, and I did quote from your letter. It sounds as if after all this time, the artist is trying to make some contrition or has made...
Let me just say first that I have unequivocal disgust for what Mr. Otterness did 30-some years ago. Our agency investigates and pursues charges in cases of animal cruelty, and, you know, I am adamantly opposed to any kind of animal cruelty, and we take it very seriously.
Forgive me, Ms. Katz. The agency is Animal Care and Control Department.
Department of Animal Care and Control, right. So I just want to put that out there, and I, you know, I think PJ knows that I have strong opinions about whether there is some input that the community should have about public art, and you know, but at the end of the day, it's not up to our agency to determine what contracts are awarded or aren't awarded. I leave that to the Arts Commission. But I will say that I've worked for many years in the criminal justice system prior to coming to Animal Care and Control, and I've seen the power of restorative justice, the power of offenders becoming accountable, facing their victims or victims like their victims, and trying to make whole the harm that they've caused. And in discussions with a representative of Mr. Otterness, I believe that that's what he wants to do.
Forgive me for sounding the note of skepticism here, but it certainly came at an ideal time for him in terms of all the controversy that stirred
Agreed.
Up here. It's
Agreed.
Like he got religion suddenly after over 30 years.
Agreed. And you know, I am a bit conflicted myself. What has he done in the intervening 30 years? I think it's a little bit of a challenge. You look at, as Sally mentioned, Michael Vick, and there's a lot of skepticism about how much it was self-serving and so forth. So I would imagine Mr. Artemus was in a position that was challenging to figure out what he could do that wouldn't look self-serving but would also demonstrate remorse. I can't speak for him, so I don't know that. But I think it's a little bit of a no-win situation for him. And in some ways, I don't know. I think there is a win here no matter what. But what I do think is whether or not the contract is awarded, regardless of whether it is or isn't, we do have an opportunity here to work with him and to work with the community at large to educate people about the impact of animal cruelty on our community and the harm it causes. And, you know, to use his connections, his skills, whatever it is, to create something that would be good for the community. And that's sort of the discussion we've begun to have. And maybe it's opportunistic timing, or maybe it's just fortuitous timing.
Well, there's something else in this, though. I mean, he did express remorse and said it was indefensible and inexcusable and apologized on a number of occasions. But he also, I found this curious, just as someone who's sensitive to language, said, I was angry at myself at the time and at the world, and I was having a rough time. Almost sounds like excusing the behavior or trying to explain the behavior in a way that says, well, you know, if you're having a rough time and that's your scene, he used that word, then you shoot a dog.
I don't think there's any excuse for animal cruelty. I've heard people who've committed acts and said, well, the dog bit me. I don't even think that's an excuse. I have to tell you, I think there's no excuse for injuring or harming a vulnerable animal. I don't think there is an excuse.
But he's on record as having given that kind of language, which suggests, you know, you have to understand this in the context of the time, as if a young person might say, well, he was having a bad time, I'm having a bad time, so I'm going to take a dog out of the shelter and kill it.
And I'd be the first to say if that was the answer in court. And you know, there was no court action here. But if that was the answer in court, I would say there is no justification or excuse for this. And there has to be accountability. And his willingness to be accountable, it's somewhat late, agreed, but it's there. It seems to be there.
All right. Rebecca Katz again, thank you for joining us. She's Director of Animal Care and Control here in San Francisco, and appreciate her call and yours as well. Jane, join us. You're on.
Hi. Thank you very much for this show. You know, as far as being a dog lover, as I believe one of the Art Commission people said, this is not about being a dog lover or not a dog lover. This is a larger moral issue. And as an artist who's worked in the city for many decades, I'm in my studio now, a couple of blocks down from Animal Care and Control. It's very, very distressing to many of us in San Francisco that in order to gain notice or perhaps notoriety or get your foot in the door of the galleries that matter, one has to engage in pretty disgusting kinds of activities, you know, whether it's extreme body mutilation, torturing animals. I think you get my drift. Many of us are just not willing to cross that line and have that sort of moral prevarication. And so we're not seen as hip and cool and cutting edge. So I think we're looking at a little bit of a larger issue here. As far as the artist in question, it seems to be a bit of a deathbed conversion. I followed the artist throughout his career, and what he did was seen as being, you know, cool and hip and cutting edge by certain segments of, I don't know, the public or the art community. And so I'd like you all to address this larger moral issue.
All right.
Thanks.
Thank you. Well, we've certainly been talking about the morality of it. And Sally Stevens, you want to weigh in here?
Yeah, I think that one thing is, and this most recent caller sort of alluded to, that to some extent there may be in some small portion of the arts community a feeling that this sort of action can be justified either because you're in a dark place or whatever the reason be to gain notoriety. And I think that terminating these contracts would send a really powerful message throughout the art world that animal cruelty is not something that you can do and call it art. It is, in fact, animal cruelty. It's a crime, and it's not something that can ever be justified in any way as art.
But there is that subjectivity too. I mean, is there in your mind or in the minds of those who unanimously voted with you? Any concern about, I suppose, a slippery slope here, that you start judging other artists on the basis of their past history and decide on that basis?
I think that, again, there are certain issues that are everyone agrees is crosses the line. And I think that certainly a snuff film, whether it's an animal that's killed or a person that's killed, that crosses everybody's line. And that is, I don't think that's really, really debatable. I mean, I don't think that there's not a lot of disagreement about that.
Well, practical question, PJ. Do we know how much the city would lose if it did indeed cancel the contract?
At least $365,000, because that's already been paid out. We could cancel the contracts and maybe have some nominal costs associated with things already underway that we're liable for. But most likely it'd be in that $365,000 range, which would be a pretty steep price to pay to not receive any artwork. I just one thing about that, though, both the caller and Sally's comments, the Arts Commission didn't find it cool or award a contract to anybody to do a snuff film. When we learned of the snuff film, we put these contracts on hold, and now we're having this very, very public discussion and debate about whether to move forward with it.
Well, so let me just say with approbation, you've been very transparent about it, which I think is really healthy. And we've got one final caller who's joining us from all the way from Panama City, Florida. Paul, you're on.
Good morning. I'll be real brief. The highest form of contrition is never committing the act again. We need some common sense. Thank you.
Okay. I guess that will be the final word because we're out of time here. I want to thank P.J. Johnson and also Sally Stevens for joining us. P.J. Johnson is president of the San Francisco Arts Commission, and Sally Stevens is chair of the Commission of Animal Control and Welfare. Again, the meeting will be held this afternoon at 2:30. You can get your comments in by going to sanfranciscoartscommission.org and let them know what you think. Lots of people have, and the pictures of the work of Otterness are online on our website, kqed.org. Also, you can continue this discussion by going to our website, kqed.org/forum, and clicking on this segment. Want to extend thanks to all of you for being with us this hour and tell you there's another hour ahead. How do we shift to Jesus? Maybe talk about forgiveness. But that's what we're going to talk about is Jesus, the historical, the real, the Jesus of faith, all of that with three of the leading New Testament and Jesus scholars who are all here in town for a big event that Harper's is putting on. Thanks to our senior editor, Dan Zoll, to our producers, Kevin Guillory and Judy Campbell, to our engineer, Danny Bringer, and to our executive producer, Raul Ramirez. For all of us at KQED Public Radio, I'm Michael Krasny.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation in honor of Louise and Claude Rosenberg.